If there's something that you hear or see that you have questions about that we do, we'd love to just sit down and talk with you, visit with you, maybe study those things out. If we can help you in any way along those lines or with anything else, we hope and pray you'll have enough confidence in us that you'll call upon us. We're thankful that you're with us. I understand I missed a movie night last night. What was the movie? What did y'all decide? Okay, so we came out okay. All right, I'm sorry I wasn't able to be a part of that, but I know you had a great time. Hey, day camp begins at Areopagus tomorrow. 42, 45, 50, however many show up. 55. How many strudels have you got made? 55. He's got 55 made. We cut it off at 42, and another one slipped in, and another one called, and they're from here, grandparents saying, hey, my kid, their parents have asked them if they can go, so we got a few more than 42. We don't know exactly how many, but we're looking forward to a great day starting tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Each day ends at 4 o'clock, and the shops are set up. Those are some pictures of a few of them. The shops are set up. The kids will have an opportunity to visit a bread shop, a farmer's shop, a weaving shop, a light shop, a jewelry shop, I don't know. And a carpenter shop will be there. Ginger, what are y'all? Oh, herbs and spices. And there's one more. I remember what it is right now. But there are eight of them. And they'll get to visit shops throughout the next 4 days. And as they do, they'll have lessons taught to them. And it'll just be fantastic. They'll be divided into six groups of seven or whatever it takes in order to make six groups. Those six groups will do different things. Hopefully it'll be somewhat organized, but they'll do different things and have a lot of fun and activities in between their visits to the shops and those kind of things. We just think it's going to be wonderful. This is my goal. No one else has a goal, but if I don't have a goal, I'll never reach anything. So I set a goal on almost everything, okay? For instance, my goal this morning was to get up, and I made it. If I hadn't had that goal, I might not have, but I just set myself goals for everything. This is my personal goal. This is my personal goal. Last year, we had 130 who were registered for the camp, for the two camp sessions that we had, 130. This year, including the day camp, my goal was to have 200 campers over the course of the month of June. 200 campers. I don't know whether we'll get it or not. We're at 186 as of this morning. 186. So I need 14 more. If any of you old timers want to register, we'll put you in a bunk, okay? We'll make it, I think. I don't think there'll be a problem with that. We'll make it, but be praying for this day camp and then the high school camp following that, then the middle school camp following that, and then the 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. That's junior high, I think. We'll follow that one. And those are great sessions. They're all coming together, and we're looking forward to that. I want to talk to you this morning about the Christian home. Last week, if you remember, we talked about why do we have such a problem with this idea of being safe? Someone encourages us to be safe. Be safe. And we have a problem with that. We have a problem with it for, you know, this is just my idea, for a few different reasons. We bought into what our culture and what our society says that we as parents should expect out of our young people, out of our children. And that those are just... They're just not valid things. They're just not valid reasons. I wanted us to continue thinking about that this morning by talking about the Christian home. Just what is a Christian home? You know, someone says, well, a Christian home is, if it's not Muslim, that would be a Muslim home, wouldn't it? And if we're not Muslim, we're definitely not atheist, so we must be a Christian home. Is that the way God would define a Christian home? I wonder. What is a Christian home? Let me give you a few things that just come to my mind. As far as I can tell, a Christian home would be one where Jesus is evident. It's evident that family, their directives, they come from Jesus Christ. The way they choose to live their lives, to conduct themselves in that family, in that home, and as well as outside it. That Jesus is the master. He's the Lord. He's the leader. And they have determined they're going to be His followers. They're going to follow in His footsteps just as closely as they possibly can. My grandmother, on my father's side, she used to have this little saying hanging on her in her house. Christ is the head of this house. He's the silent listener of every conversation. He's the guest at every meal. And it was not uncommon having, you know, several boys and a girl. And then when you throw in the spouses and you throw in all the children and or the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, and we would get together. It wouldn't be uncommon from time to time for somebody to say a harsh word to someone. And Grandmother Bessie would point at that saying and say, hey, he's the silent listener in every conversation. He lives in this house. It's evident. He lives in this house. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus came to Capernaum, it says, 2 verse 1. Jesus came to Capernaum, and it was noised abroad that he was in the house. If someone looked at your home, at your family, would they look at it and say, now that's there's evidence. Jesus controls this family. Jesus dictates, determines what goes. Or is it someone else or something else? If there's anything else that you deem more important, do you put Jesus to the back and you go do what you want to do? Or is it evident Jesus is the master here? Jesus is the leader in this family. We follow Christ. Another one of those passages which I just, every time I read it, I think, that's what I want. That's what I want for my house. It's found in Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus had been in Capernaum. He had sent his disciples out to teach the Jews. It's kind of a training mission. And he sent them out, and they come back and they report to Jesus, and they must have been exhausted. And Jesus and his disciples get into a ship and they go into a desert place. No doubt this is an opportunity for them to be refreshed and for Jesus to refresh himself. And he looks out and there's a crowd. He instructs his disciples to feed them. Then Jesus and his disciples, they get in this mode of trying to find some relief from the press of these crowds. And Jesus goes into Tyre, the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he enters a house, and he would have no man know it. But it could not be hid. Now that's the kind of house I want. That's the kind of house I want. How about you? That's the kind of home I want. Jesus is in that home, and I can't hide it. Jesus is in that home, and it cannot be hid. Listen, folks. What is a Christian home? A Christian home isn't a Christian home just because you say I'm not Muslim, I'm not atheist, I'm not Hindu. A Christian home is a Christian home because Jesus is evident in that home. It's evident. He's the center of that home. Here's another thing that is an indication to me. It's a Christian home. It's a place of purpose. It's a place of purpose. Have we come to the conclusion that our homes will be Christian homes just by chance? Well, Daddy and Mom had a Christian home. Naturally, my home will be a Christian home. Just by osmosis? Well, I live next door to Christian folks that have Christ in their home. I'll have Christ in my home. It just happens. Listen, folks, a Christian home is no accident. It has to be worked at. There has to be energy put into it. Remember Joshua? Toward the end of his life, Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15, he calls the children of Israel together and he challenges them. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. You make the choice. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Whether the God of our fathers that was before the flood or the God of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But I'll tell you this much. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have a purpose in our home. Our purpose in our home is to serve the Lord. That's the purpose. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my wife, and I'm thankful that my children bought into this. I don't apologize for it. People say, well, that's a strange home you have, David. That's a strange home. That's the kind of home everybody ought to have, where the husband and wife are united. Our purpose is to serve the Lord, where the children have bought into it, and the son-in-laws and now the grandchildren are buying into it. What's our purpose? We only have one. We only have one. It's to serve the Lord. It's to serve the Lord. I was with two of my grandchildren just last night. One of them, the oldest one, is going to help us in the day camp. The other one's going to attend the day camp. The oldest one is going to help us in the day camp. After she finishes with the day camp, the entire month of July, she has volunteered to serve, to help serve the free meals to the children that are less fortunate in her community. And she said, Papa, you want to come help? Where do you think I'm going? Every morning that they serve those meals, guess where I'm going to be? I'm going to be beside my granddaughter because we've taught her that. We've trained her that. Now she's bought into it. We have a purpose. And our purpose is not for entertainment. Our purpose is not about enjoyment. Are we entertained as we do these things? Do we get enjoyment from doing these things more than you'll get through anything else? This family has purpose. Our purpose is to serve the Lord. I'm telling you, as far as I can tell, that's the definition of a Christian home. A Christian home is a place that has purpose. And its purpose is to serve the Lord. A Christian home is a place of blessing. It's a place of blessing. It just naturally comes. As a result of Jesus being in that home, of having the purpose of serving that home, you just naturally receive blessings from that. Just naturally. I'll read to you from the Proverbs. This is Proverbs 23. Proverbs 24, verse 3, beginning. Through wisdom, a house is built. Let that sink in for a minute. Oh, it just happened. It just happens. No, you make up your mind. You choose. This is the kind of home I'm going to have. This is the kind of home we want. This is the kind of home we can have. And this is the kind of home we will have it. We will have it. Through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it's established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with precious and pleasant riches. Jesus in John 10:10 said, I've come, David, I came so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. Folks, I'm not the richest man in the world financially, but I am one of the richest men in this world spiritually. And which one do you suppose I'd rather have? I'll take the spiritual any day of the week. Anytime. God has blessed me and continues to bless me, and I can see nothing but Him blessing us for as long as this world stands, because we're a family where Jesus is evident. We're a family with purpose, and that purpose is to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And because of that, He just keeps blessing us. Beverly and I were talking about it just this morning. How blessed we are. How truly blessed we are. In Ephesians chapter 5, one of the blessings that this Christian home enjoys is it enjoys a husband who loves his wife the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, who wouldn't want a home like that? How many of you women wouldn't want a husband like that? That loves you the way Christ loved His church and give Himself for you. That's a Christian home. That's a Christian home. A Christian home is a home where the wife, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, where the wife is in submission to her husband. Whether he's a Christian or not, she's in submission to her husband, because if he's not a Christian, through her life, through her example, he'll become one. Without a word, without a word, he'll be one. She's in submission to her husband. If she's going to be in submission to him, if he's not a Christian, will she be in submission to him if he is a Christian? Absolutely. A Christian home is where the wife is not so much interested with the exteriors as she is interested in adorning the inward person. Becoming beautiful on the inside. And the husband's about helping her do that. I say to you men, you husbands, is your wife more beautiful today than she was the day she married you? Because that's your job, to help her become more beautiful now than she was the day you married her. You say, well, man, Beverly was 18. She's 118 now. Man, she's more beautiful today than she was the day I married her, folks. I'm not talking about the physical. I'm talking about the inward person of the heart. Have you helped your wife become more beautiful than she was the day you married her? Because that's what a Christian home is all about. Christian home is where there is a woman who submits to her husband and adorns the inner person of the heart. What a blessing it is to have that home. A Christian home? A Christian home is a place of possibilities. It's hard. It's impossible. Let me say it. It's impossible to be a preacher and an elder. It's impossible. It's just impossible. You can't do either one of them the justice that it needs. It's impossible. It's impossible to stay upbeat when it's your responsibility to try to help folks who it seems almost bound to determine they're out to destroy themselves and their families. They won't listen. They don't pay attention. They come to you as if, hey, I've already made up my mind what I'm going to do. Now I want you to approve of it. Here's what I've gotten to where I say. You'll have to take that up with Jesus. I can't approve that. I can't approve that. They just dismiss it. Go on and do what they want to do. To the destruction of their own souls, to the destruction of their families, to the loss of their children. Our homes have become places where more time is spent tearing one another down than building one another up. When a Christian home is a place of possibility. The Apostle Peter would say to the people that he's writing to, as he closes out his second letter. This is the last verse in it, folks. This is it. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A Christian home is a place where that'll happen. A Christian home is a place where, hey, everything is conducive to growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Do your own self-examination. Has Jesus been discussed in your home this week? Have your children heard you even mention Him and not in one of those vulgar phrases? You can have a Christian home. It's a place of possibility. A Christian home is where this can happen. You can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's a place where love stands out. And I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 8, that love never fails. It never fails. This is a place of possibility. This is a Christian home. It's a Christian home. Yes, folks. Your home can be a place. It can be. It can be a place where Jesus is evident. It can be a place of purpose. It can be a place of blessing. It can be a place of possibility. Do you want it? Do you want it? That's the only question up for consideration. Do you want it? If you want it, it can happen. It can be yours. You can have a Christian home. It begins with who? It begins with you. It begins with you. It's time we stopped as husbands putting it on our wives and saying, well, if my wife, we'd have a Christian home. It's time that wives stop putting it on their husbands. If my husband, then we'd have a Christian home. Or on our children, or children on parents. You can have a Christian home. You can have a Christian home, but every one of us has to decide, that's the home I'll have. And if it's going to be, it means I'm going to have to be. Me. I'm going to have to be. It begins with me.
It begins with you. What is a Christian home? It's a place where Jesus is evident. It's evident. He's there. He's there. A Christian home is a place of purpose. It's a place of purpose. We choose. We choose. We make up our minds. We determine. We're not going to leave it to just chance. Maybe we'll have a Christian home. Maybe. And just, hey, we just go through life thinking it's just going to happen. Christian homes don't just happen. Christian homes are worked at. They're worked at. Decisions are made. Decisions are made. Decisions are made. Decisions are made. And a Christian home is the culmination of those decisions that you make. It's a place of purpose. It's a place of blessing. It's a place of blessing. I cannot imagine that anyone would not want to have a Christian home. Man, this is the place. This is it. Where husbands love their wives, where wives submit to their husbands and adorn their inner person, influencing and affecting their husbands in positive ways as they do just that. Where children are brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Where children obey their parents in the Lord because that's the right thing to do. I'm about pleasing the Lord. And that's the right thing to do. Where the whole family working together in unison and with purpose have determined, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I know you want that. I know you do. I want you to know it can be yours. It can be yours. God intended for you to enjoy that home. God intended for you to enjoy that kind of family unit and family relationship. If God wants it for you, the only one left to make the determination of whether or not you'll have it is you. Is you. We've not talked about becoming Christians, but if you want a Christian home, seems pretty clear to me. Seems pretty clear to me. If I want a Christian home and Jesus is going to be the leader in that home and he's going to be the master, then that's going to make me his disciple, his follower. I'm going to have to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. We want to help you become one today. If you're here, you're not a Christian, you let us know. We'll help you. We'll help you. You say, well, I don't even know how to become one. Hey, that Ethiopian eunuch. He didn't either, did he? That we studied about in Bible class this morning? He didn't either. But he became one. He became one. We can help you. We'll study together. You can become a Christian. You can become a child of God. Maybe you're here, you are a Christian. You are, but you're not living like it. You're not living a life of purpose. You're not living the life where Jesus is even evident in your life, much less in your home. You need to repent of that. You need to ask His forgiveness. You need to return to walk in the light with Him again as He is in the light. This morning, why don't you choose? You choose for you to do that which is right in the eyes of God. If we can help you, that's what we're here to do. Let us know by stepping out of one of the aisles and making your way to the front. Come now, as together we stand and sing.